Have you ever been in a conversation where you just know what you want to say, but well, finding the exact right words feels like a puzzle,
Oh, definitely.
especially when you're talking about something, really important and personal like education. It can be tricky, right?
It really can.
Well, you've landed in the perfect spot. Welcome to the deep dive, your sort of direct path to becoming truly well-informed. We take all kinds of sources, articles, research, our own notes, and we pull out the most important ideas, those surprising bits, and those aha moments.
Cut through the noise.
Exactly. So you get the essential knowledge without feeling, swamped by too much information.
That's the goal.
Today, we're embarking on a fascinating deep dive into essential vocabulary for a topic that touches everyone's life, education.
Make one.
And we're really focusing on words that are crucial for helping you communicate clearly and confidently, especially if you're preparing for something like the IELTS Speaking Part 3.
Very relevant for many listeners, I imagine.
Definitely. And the amazing content for this deep dive, it's based on a really valuable resource called IELTS Vocabulary for Speaking Part 3 for Band 5 to 6 foreign. This is provided by lingexam.com.
Ah, lingexam.com, good resource.
Yes, I really encourage you to remember that name, lingexam.com, for more excellent learning materials. Honestly, you'll find so much useful stuff there.
That's absolutely right. And our mission today, it's really to give you a clear understanding of these key terms.
Okay.
We'll unpack what they mean, how they're used in like real conversations, and discover just how they can help you express your thoughts about education with, well, more detail and confidence.
Like building a toolkit.
Exactly. Think of
Okay.
it as building a stronger vocabulary toolkit.
Got it.
So why is this specific vocabulary so important, especially for something like the IELTS Speaking Part 3?
Yeah, why focus here?
Well, education isn't just a common topic. It's one of the most frequently discussed subjects in that part of the exam. Examiners aren't just listening for you to speak English, you know.
Right.
They're actively looking for you to use precise vocabulary when you talk about educational ideas.
That makes perfect sense. It's not just about what you say, but how you say it.
Precisely.
But what specific areas within education are we really talking about here? Like, where do examiners expect you to show off this vocabulary? What bits of education come up most?
That's a great question. And it really gets to the heart of why specific words matter. The source material highlights several key areas where having precise vocabulary makes a big difference.
Okay, like what?
Things like discussing different types of schools, private, public, understanding various levels of education from primary, secondary, up to higher education.
Right.
Talk about different methods of learning, like traditional classroom stuff versus maybe more modern approaches.
Online learning, things like that.
Exactly. Also, describing academic success and, importantly, the common challenges students might face. Explaining the overall purpose and value of education in society. And even touching on, global education trends, like how tech is changing learning everywhere.
Wow. Okay. So it covers a lot of ground.
It really does. And mastering these particular words and phrases, it isn't just about sounding more formal or, clever.
Right.
It's about giving you the ability to express complex ideas with clarity. So instead of just saying schools are good, you can explain why they're important or what challenges they face or how they affect a student's future.
I see. It helps you give more detailed, better organized, and ultimately more impressive answers. Shows you really get the topic.
Exactly, a deeper understanding.
You're right. It's like having the right tools for a specific job, isn't it? It allows you to build something much more complete.
Well put.
And speaking of tools, here's where it gets really interesting for anyone wanting to talk confidently about education. Let's look at some specific words.
Let's build that toolkit.
Yeah, piece by piece. Let's begin with a foundational concept, something that affects almost every child in many countries, compulsory education.
Right, compulsory education.
Yeah.
This refers to the schooling that children are legally required to attend up to a certain age.
So it's the law.
It's the law, not an option. For example, in many places, compulsory education lasts until the age of 16.
Okay.
And a phrase you'll often hear with this is compulsory education system.
Gotcha. So if you're talking about your own country, you might say something like, when I was growing up, my country had a compulsory education system, meaning everyone had to attend school until they were 16.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
It clearly defines a whole system.
What's interesting here, though, is that while it makes sure everyone gets a basic education, it also brings up questions about what that education should include, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And whether the age limit is always right for every student. It's about access, sure, but also about choices students have.
Exactly. And once a system is compulsory, what actually goes into that system becomes incredibly important.
Right. What are they learning?
Which brings us directly to the concept of the curriculum.
Ah, the curriculum. Okay, so this is simply the subjects and topics that are taught in a school or, you know, educational program.
That's it.
For instance, the school curriculum now includes computer science as a compulsory subject.
Good example. And a common phrase you'll hear is the national curriculum.
National curriculum, right.
And you could use it like this in a discussion. In my view, the national curriculum should be flexible enough to adapt to the needs of modern society.
That makes sense. This term lets you talk about the actual content of what's being taught,
yeah,
but also lets you think about if it's maybe outdated or if it should include more practical skills, perhaps.
Absolutely. The debate around what should or shouldn't be in the curriculum is, well, it's a big one in education, always changing.
So we've talked about the structure of education, the system, and what's taught, the curriculum. But how do we measure if it's actually, you know, working for individual students?
Good question. How do we describe progress?
Yeah. Or success. What's the term for that?
That brings us nicely to academic achievement.
Okay. Academic achievement.
This term means success or progress in education, and it's usually measured by things like grades, maybe certificates or awards.
Right. The measurable stuff.
Often. Yeah. An example sentence would be, academic achievement is often considered when students apply for scholarships.
Ah, okay.
And we often hear the phrase, high academic achievement.
High academic achievement. Right. Got it. So if you were asked about it, you could say something like, although academic achievement is very important for, you know, future opportunities, I believe that creativity and critical thinking are equally valuable for a student's overall growth. It helps you explain that success isn't just about grades, right?
Exactly. It's broader than that.
What's often overlooked, maybe, is the pressure that comes with academic achievement.
Huge pressure sometimes.
Or how it might not fully capture a student's talents if they're good at things that aren't tested in exams.
A very valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us nicely beyond the classroom, actually, to extracurricular activities.
Ah, yes. Extracurricular activities. So these are the things students do outside their regular classes.
That's right. Like sports, music, drama clubs, maybe volunteering.
Okay. For example, extracurricular activities help students develop social and leadership skills.
Good one. And a common phrase is participate in extracurricular activities.
Participate in. Okay.
So in a conversation, you might say something like, in my opinion, schools should encourage students to participate in a wide range of extracurricular activities.
Right.
As it helps with their overall development, not just their grades.
Yeah, that makes sense. What's particularly insightful about this term, I think, is how it highlights learning that happens outside of textbooks.
Absolutely.
You know, fostering teamwork, maybe time management, even reducing stress from that academic pressure we mentioned.
Definitely. It's about building a well-rounded individual.
A very relevant term now, especially given recent global events, distance learning or online learning.
Yes, very topical. Distance learning is a way of studying where teachers and students aren't physically present in a classroom, usually using the internet.
Right. Like distance learning became very popular during the pandemic.
The perfect example. And you'll often hear the phrase online learning platform.
Online learning platform. Okay. So for an answer, you could use it this way. While distance learning offers great flexibility and, you know, access for many.
Mm-hmm. The upsides.
It can also make students feel isolated from their peers, and it requires, well, a lot of self-discipline.
True. It allows you to discuss both sides, the benefits and the challenges of these newer ways of learning.
Yeah, it helps you talk about the future of education, really.
Definitely. Now, shifting gears slightly, something many people think about when talking about higher education, especially university, tuition fees.
Yes. Tuition fees. So that's the money paid for instruction, right? Especially at college or university.
Exactly. A good example is many families struggle to afford university tuition fees.
That's certainly true for many. And you frequently hear the phrase pay tuition fees.
Right. So you might say in a discussion, high tuition fees can discourage talented students from pursuing higher education.
Even if they're really capable.
Even if they are very bright. Yeah. This vocabulary lets you discuss the financial side of education and that big debate around who should pay.
Students, families, the government, and how it affects equality.
Precisely. Equality of opportunity.
And closely related to that, something that helps with those fees is a scholarship.
Yes. The flip side. A scholarship is money given to a student to help pay for their education.
Usually based on good grades or need?
Often, yes. Based on academic achievement or financial need. For instance, she received a full scholarship to study at a prestigious university.
Nice. And a common phrase is, receive a scholarship.
Receive a scholarship, exactly. So you could explain. Yeah. Scholarships make education more accessible to students from low-income backgrounds.
Right.
Allowing more people to achieve their dreams of higher education. This word is really important when discussing fairness and creating equal opportunities.
Definitely opens doors.
It does. And finally, a concept that's becoming more and more important in today's, well, fast-changing world. Lifelong learning.
Ooh, I like that one. Lifelong learning. So that's the idea that people should keep learning throughout their lives, not just in school.
Exactly. Continue to learn and develop new skills, not just when young in formal schooling, for example. Lifelong learning is essential in a rapidly changing world.
Because jobs and tech are always shifting.
Because jobs and technologies are always changing.
Exactly. A good phrase often used is promote lifelong learning.
Promote lifelong learning.
Okay, so you could phrase it like this. Governments should promote lifelong learning to help people adapt to new technology and job requirements.
So everyone can keep up.
Ensuring that everyone can keep up with changes in the economy.
Mm.
This term helps you talk about the bigger picture. Education beyond school, career development, how societies stay competitive. It's not just about formal courses either, is it? It's about curiosity, adapting.
Absolutely, a mindset.
Wow, just hearing those words and seeing how they fit into sentences and connect to these bigger ideas, it really makes a discussion so much richer, doesn't it?
It really does.
It moves you beyond just simple descriptions to more precise and thoughtful discussions. It's like suddenly having a clearer lens to see the whole picture.
Absolutely. And using these words clearly shows understanding and precision, which is exactly what listeners and, you know, examiners in that context are looking for.
Right.
It demonstrates you can discuss complex ideas about education in a more complete and sophisticated way.
Okay, so the words themselves are great tools.
And that leads us to another really powerful tool, collocations.
Ah, collocations. Remind us quickly what those are.
Simply put, collocations are words that just naturally sound right together. Like we say heavy rain, not usually strong rain.
Got it. Words that are friends.
Kind of. When you use them, your language sounds much more natural and fluent. It makes a big difference in how easily people understand you.
Exactly. And the source, the lingexam.com material, gives some great examples that really highlight this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about saying, achieve academic success, instead of just, you know, get good grades.
Sounds much better.
Or develop critical thinking skills, instead of just think well. And access quality education instead of maybe go to good schools.
Yeah, they're more precise, more natural.
These phrases just roll off the tongue, don't they? They make your sentences sound so much more polished. It shows you're not just sticking words together randomly.
Exactly. You're using them like native speakers often would.
Right.
And building on that, it's also really crucial to avoid common mistakes.
Right, because even small errors can trip people up.
Yeah, they can. Avoiding them boosts your clarity and the overall impression you make. Sometimes a small error can make your speech sound a bit unnatural, even if the meaning is mostly clear.
Yes. Small errors can sometimes make a listener pause or, like, slightly misunderstand. The source mentioned a couple of good examples, like many people might say, he has a good education background.
Hear that quite a bit.
But the more natural and correct way is, he has a good educational background. Using the adjective educational.
Right. Describes the background.
Or another common one, she is studying in university.
Mm-hmm.
The correct phrase, the one that sounds more natural, is she is studying at a university. Little things, but they add up.
They really do. It's these small changes, like using the right collocations and avoiding common errors, that make a significant difference in how well you communicate.
Shows you got a good handle on the language.
Exactly. It shows a strong command, allowing your ideas to shine through without any distractions.
Okay. So we've built our vocabulary toolkit. We understand how words fit together with collocations, and we know to watch out for common mistakes.
Good summary.
But what does this all mean when you're actually asked a question? Say, in that IELTS speaking part three situation, or just in a normal chat about education.
Well, it means this vocabulary helps you give detailed, well-organized answers. Answers that go beyond a simple yes or no.
Right. Not just short replies.
Instead of giving short, simple responses, you can expand on your ideas with confidence, with precision, and show that deeper understanding of the topic we talked about.
You're not just listing facts, you're exploring concepts.
Exactly.
Let's take a sample question from the source material and see how we can put our new toolkit to use. How about this one? How important are extracurricular activities in a student's life?
Okay, good question.
How might we use the vocabulary we just talked about to answer that in a really, you know, comprehensive way?
Well, you could start by acknowledging their clear importance. You might say something like, extracurricular activities are extremely important, perhaps even as vital as the formal curriculum itself.
Oh, interesting comparison.
For a student's holistic development.
Mm.
See, that immediately sets a thoughtful tone.
Yeah, it does.
Then you can bring in the specific benefits we discussed. You could mention that they help students learn practical skills like teamwork, leadership, and time management.
Skills not always taught in class.
Right. Skills that are often not part of the regular class or lessons.
So you're not just saying they're good for skills. You're specifying what kind of skills and linking it back to the curriculum. That's a great example of using the vocabulary to add depth.
Precisely. You could then elaborate. Maybe say how these activities, because they're outside the regular academic environment, can actually help reduce academic pressure.
Ah, the pressure we mentioned earlier.
Exactly. The pressure students often feel from striving for academic achievement. This allows students to relax, explore new interests, and it contributes to their overall development.
Overall development, right.
Not just intellectually, but socially and emotionally, too. You're explaining why they're important, using those precise terms to build a full picture.
Shows a balanced view of education, not just grades.
Exactly. Demonstrates a balanced perspective. So just to recap our deep dive today, mastering specific education vocabulary is, well, it's a game changer for clear communication.
Definitely feels that way.
It helps you express your ideas with more detail, more fluency, and more logic.
Hmm.
Whether you're taking an exam, discussing policies, or just talking about your own experiences with education.
It's all about communicating your thoughts clearly and with confidence.
That's the core of it.
And remember, the very best way to master these words and concepts is to actually start practicing them yourself.
Absolutely. Use them or lose them.
Try using them in sentences, connect them to your own experiences, or even think about the education system in your own country. Like, what stands out to you most about the terms we discussed today?
Good question for reflection.
Maybe think about, what changes would you like to see in the education system where you live, using some of the vocabulary we've explored, perhaps? Something to mull over.
A great takeaway thought.
And a huge thank you again to lingexam.com for providing such excellent content that formed the basis for this deep dive. Seriously good stuff.
Very helpful resource.
If you want to study more valuable content on this topic or find other fantastic learning materials to help you achieve your language learning goals, we really strongly encourage you to visit their website. That's lingexam.com.
Definitely check it out.
You'll find so many helpful resources there. Okay, that's all for this deep dive. We hope you feel a little more well-informed and confident about discussing education.
Hope it was useful.
Join us next time for another deep dive into a brand new topic.